I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The provincial election is Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. This is the third election campaign where I've invited all the candidates in the riding of Vancouver-Kensington to come on the program and chat about the issues and more clockwise. The riding's northern borders are 16th to Fraser and Kingsway to Nanaimo. Its eastern border is Nanaimo to 49th Avenue, 49th Avenue south to Main Street, and up Main from 49th to 16th Avenue. This year, like in 05 and 2009, I've extended invitations to all four candidates running, and as of this hour, I'm scheduled to talk to the BC Liberal candidate and hope to arrange times to speak to the BC Conservative and Green Party candidates. In studio now is the incumbent member of the Legislative Assembly, Mabel Elmore. First elected in 2009, Ms. Elmore has served as the NDP critic for multiculturalism, child care, and early learning, and was the deputy finance critic and critic for ICBC. Among other achievements include campaigning against the HST. We'll reflect on the past 4 years and look ahead to this campaign. We'll also talk about the issues that constituents have suggested to her, our concerns in the riding and throughout the province. Ms. Elmore made history with her election to the legislature as the first BC MLA of Filipino heritage. I think we talked about that when she was on 4 years ago during the last campaign. She has worked as a transit operator, a union activist, and a community leader. The website for more is at mabelelmore.bc.ndp.ca. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Mabel Elmore. Ms. Elmore, good morning.
Thanks a lot. Nice to be back.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for coming in to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last night's leaders' debate, I saw on Twitter that you watched that at your office with your volunteers.
Yes, we had a main streeting, so we were out on all four corners of 41st and Victoria with signs, visibility exercise, and also talking to folks walking, shopping, and getting on and off the bus. So that was a lot of fun.
What did you make of your leader's performance, Mr. Dix?
I thought it was a good performance. I think he did well in the CKNW radio debate and also did well last night in the leaders' debate. I think he was able to bring up the main points and provide a contrast between the NDP and Liberal.
He's a great speaker, regardless of whatever political affiliation you might have. I mean, I always thought he's a pretty good talker. He looked nervous last night. Did you get the same sense?
Well, I think there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of pressure. It pretty much comes down to, elections can turn on televised leader debates. So there's a lot of preparation that goes in. And I think overall, he's very knowledgeable on the issues and pays attention to detail. And I think he was able to get out our main message from the NDP.
A lot of people listening to us might not live in Kensington. So for them, what's Adrian Dix like? What qualities has he got that would make him a good premier? I mean, you've known him for a few years now. You work with him closely.
Yeah, he's been a colleague. I've worked with him in the legislature, and I met him before I ran, and it was interesting. I was involved in the community, so I would encounter him at community events. But before I considered running for the nomination, I had a meeting with him in his constituency office, and it was very interesting. And he came across to me as someone offering genuine advice, and just I found him practical, down-to-earth, and quite authentic. And we've worked together in the legislature, I mean, one thing that characterizes Adrian that everyone will tell you is that he works very hard. Mm-hmm. He puts long hours in, and, often I'd be there, there'd be a few of us left at the legislature, and we'd go, and he'd still be in his office working. So that's one thing. He's very hardworking. He's very diligent. He takes his job seriously, and I think he has a genuine concern and care for people. So it's been a pleasure getting to know him, and I think his sense of humor is coming out a little bit now as well for other people.
Yeah, he's got a vast, this is just my observation, he's got a vast number of interests. I mean, he's a big football fan.
Mm-hmm. He's a sports fan,
And then his wife's a poet, so he's obviously literate in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, would you remind me, before he became leader, your leader was Carol James.
Yes.
When the big contretemps happened with her and her leadership, and there were some people in the caucus that didn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? Were you one of those people that were with Jenny Kwan and wanting her out, or were you loyal to Carol James? I can't remember. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've gotten to know Carol since I was elected, and I really have a lot of respect for her, and she's also very hardworking and very genuine, and so I certainly supported her leadership and continue to support her, and think it's a great addition to our team that she's continuing to run again in this election, and she's just played such an invaluable role, a leadership role within caucus, and she's co-chair of our platform committee, so she's been a great, she's really made great contributions.
A lot of people that don't like your party will talk about the NDP of the 1990s and worry that if elected on the 14th, if you guys form the government, it'll be much the same that we saw in the late 1990s. I mean, it was not a very good time. Will your party be different if you guys form the next government?
Well, I think that all parties change, and one thing certainly we learn from past mistakes and past experiences. We're taking that forward now with the NDP. Our message is clear. We are looking to bring an improved system of government. We think the BC Liberals, after 12 years, do not deserve to be reelected. And the NDP, our position is that we are going to balance the budget over a four-year term. We're going to address the priorities we think have been neglected in British Columbia, focused on skills training, improving efficiencies in healthcare, building a sustained and prosperous economy, and providing certainty for the business community. So I think on those factors we've been clear, and that's the position we're going forward on. We're not going to bring any surprises to the electorate. We're being very clear where we're going to raise revenue, how our priorities and commitments are going to be costed, and that's going to be we're going to provide that certainty for the business community.
Didn't the Premier say yesterday in the debate that your platform hasn't been costed?
Well, I think she's been saying a few things that have proven not necessarily to be based in facts. Yeah. And we've submitted our platform. I've got it here. You can take a look for it if you want. Every penny is being accounted for. We're saying that the Liberal governments have claimed to be running on a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. It's a deficit budget. Even the Dominion bond traders have pegged it at $1.7 billion deficit. We're saying it's a $790 million deficit. And this will be the fifth consecutive deficit budget for the Liberal government. As well, in terms of debt, we've seen the highest increase and the fastest increase in debt, $11 billion for the last 2 years under Premier Christy Clark, and a projected additional $14 billion. So that would be, it has been the fastest growth under her, and also would be the biggest under these 4 years. And also job losses, we've seen the Liberals are claiming to run in on a jobs plan, but BC has lost close to 35,000 jobs in the private sector leading Canada.
What is this business about the pipeline? I know that there was a controversy this past weekend, a news story at least, about, I guess, Charlie Weiss had said something, and your leader corrected him on Monday. So what is the position of the party on this pipeline?
Well, on the Enbridge pipeline, we've said that, and this is the pipeline from Alberta tar sands to bring bitumen across British Columbia for export off our coast. We've said that we don't think that this is, we're opposed to the pipeline. We don't think it's in the best interest of British Columbia. It's too dangerous, and we assume all of the risks. So that's clear. Recently, Adrian also announced on Earth Day that we're opposed to the expansion and the twinning of the Kinder Morgan pipeline, because it would basically transform the Port of Vancouver into an oil export port. So we don't think that folks in Metro Vancouver or British Columbia support that idea. In terms of it was a question with regards to our position on fracking for liquefied natural gas.
Yeah.
And Adrian clarified that we're in support of the liquefied natural gas industry, and we are proposing to conduct a review of the fracking process to invite experts and citizens and community organizations to make submissions. While it's ongoing, so we wouldn't call a halt to it. But basically, our position is to be in favor of a review.
The Green Party will naturally say that your party isn't the party for the environment, that they are. Are they a threat in this riding, at least, and taking votes away from you?
Well, I'm very proud of our position on environmental issues. I think it's very strong, taking a strong position in opposition to the Enbridge pipeline. We're taking a position maintaining the moratorium of oil tankers off our coast, that our coast is not for sale. And I think the key point is that we're making a commitment to reduce carbon emissions and taking that seriously. And that we raised nearly $1 billion, in excess of $1 billion in carbon tax. So we're saying that some of that revenue should be reinvested in solutions that address climate change. So we made a clear commitment that we will invest more in public transit, more in green infrastructure, and projects that reduce our carbon emissions, as well as a number of other environmental issues. One that I think is the direction we need to go is to enable BC Hydro to generate power. The BC Liberals prohibited BC Hydro from generating new power. That's why we got into a lot of IPPs. Mm-hmm. And so our position of the NDP is to allow BC Hydro to generate power, number one, and also to be able to expand and invest and into renewable energy. BC has a lot of options for that along our coast, our BC coast. There are a lot of areas that are possibilities for wind turbine. Mm-hmm. We also have some opportunities for tidal, more on geothermal and solar. So I think that's a good direction that we're heading in.
I would assume going through the riding and talking to constituents, a lot of people are concerned about access to post-secondary. I know that's something that you're concerned about. Mm-hmm. How would you improve access to post-secondary, whether you guys form the next government or not, if you are re-elected on the 14th?
I think education is a key priority, and I certainly hear it at the doorstep, whether it's young families who've got kids children in high school or going to post-secondary. So that's why the NDP, we've made it one of our priorities, education throughout. In terms of post-secondary, we're looking at, number one, we have to expand the number of spaces and for skilled trades and other professions. So there's a real need, we've heard. I was also served as the deputy finance critic and mm-hmm. Deputy chair for the finance committee, traveled mm-hmm. across British Columbia. The most consistent theme that emerged that I heard from business leaders and industry groups, community groups, is that there's a real need for skilled workers. There's a shortage, and we have a gap. We have people without jobs in BC and jobs without people. So there's a need to invest in our post-secondary education, ensure that young people and workers can get the skills they need for jobs that are here now, and that companies don't have to have hiring fairs in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which is happening for construction in Kitimat, and that, for example, Tech Mining had a hiring fair looking to hire 1,500 mm-hmm. Workers because they're having a lot of turnover with baby boomers hiring. So we need to make sure that British Columbians have opportunity to access those courses and those jobs. Additionally, the issue of affordability is key. It's a clear barrier. We've seen doubling of tuition under the Liberals in the last 10 years, and students now graduate with an average of $27,000 debt. So we think that that's a barrier. When you're 18, you may not have the cash up front to be able to get the skills to pursue an education and get a good paying job. So that's why we're re-implementing a needs-based grant. Mm-hmm. We're instating that, and we're going to be addressing affordability and accessibility of education.
Does it sound like you can afford all these things?
We have said that all of our commitments are costed. Every single dollar is going to be accounted for in terms of every expenditure for our program. So we've made that clear. It's in our platform and it's out there. We actually came out before a platform with our fiscal position. Uh-huh. And the first point of that was to establish that the BC Liberal so-called balanced budget was not a balanced budget. It's a $790 million deficit. Mm-hmm. And just making that clear. And we've laid out our areas. We have four areas of increasing, generating more revenue. And it's all our programs and commitments are fully costed and accounted for.
Well, when I've seen articles about this riding, this race in Vancouver, Kensington, they tend to talk about the fact that that you and Mr. Callow share a common heritage, that you're both Filipino. Some articles in the Georgia Strait talked about some community members saying that his running here was a sort of betrayal, that it's dividing the Filipino community, that he's a fool to run. Did you share those sentiments?
I think it's a good opportunity, particularly in the Filipino community, to really talk about the differences. What is the difference between Liberal and NDP platforms? And so it's, I think there's a lot of interest generated in the community. You know, I've talked about the impact of Bill 29, which the Liberals brought in, to tear up contracts in the healthcare sector, resulted in the firing over 8,000 healthcare workers and the privatization and contracting out. A good number of those were from the Filipino community working in healthcare, had their wages cut in half, you know, many lost their mortgages, and that bill was proven to be illegal and overturned in the Supreme Court. As well, we've seen the, you know, I've talked about Liberal cuts to education, our education, kindergarten to grade 12. They've cut 34% English language learners. These are support teachers in the classrooms to help kids who have English as a second language to be successful and prosper. So that's had an impact, I think, to newly arriving immigrant youth, and it's impacted, had a negative impact on their ability to be successful and graduate in our high schools. BC has the second lowest graduation rate in high schools across Canada, and also a lower than average graduation rate for newly arrived immigrant youth. So those are some issues I'm very concerned about, and I think that the NDP has a clear position in terms of supporting newly arrived immigrant families, supporting youth to be successful in the classroom. I'm very concerned. I want to see youth successfully graduate high school, transition to post-secondary. That's the avenue for success and providing those opportunities. So I think it really, in this election campaign, that's what I'm looking forward to doing, really contrasting the two positions. I'm hoping to be able to do that in an all-candidates debate. Mm-hmm. So far, the Liberal candidate has declined to participate, and I heard that's been the story across British Columbia, many Liberal candidates declining the opportunity to debate issues and be accountable for the policies of the Liberal government. But I think it's raising awareness in the communities and here in Kensington on the record of the Liberal government.
Do you have a sense, though, of where the Filipino community is and whether they support you or him?
Well, I know that there's a good number of folks who work in healthcare field, and many have been impacted by the privatization, contracting out, negatively impacted. As well, we have a lot of families who are newly arrived, newly reunited families, and I think that they haven't benefited from Liberal policies. NDP, we have made a priority to look at improving the recognition of foreign credentials. That's also been a key concern of mine. I think we need to do a better job, not just to ensure fairness for immigrants. Immigrants from the Philippines have the highest level of post-secondary education of any immigrants, but are at the lowest wage scale. So there's a gap. We need to close that gap, and it's not beneficial just for those individuals and their families. It's going to benefit our economy, and it's going to contribute more to our society. So that's one of the commitments I'm very proud of, and that I think BC needs to do a better job, and that the NDP has pledged to improve the recognition of foreign credentials.
My mum is a supporter of yours. She's got a sign out. Mm-hmm. You saw that coming in here. So in case people want to know where we're in case I didn't bring that up, I mean, I don't know who I'm voting for, but right. I know who she's voting for, and my dad as well, I'm assuming. But it is a historic moment, isn't it, that that you can have two candidates of the same heritage, and it sort of puts a damp on the quick wins memo thing, and that the Filipino community can vote either way, that they're not lumped into one party, right?
The quick wins memo you're referring to, the ethnic gate, the scandal the Liberal government was embroiled in, illegally using taxpayer money for an attempt to win over votes in ethnic communities. I think that certainly that's not the approach that is going to gain respect in any quarter, and The Liberal Party had to pay back $70,000 for that, and there's still a number of questions, outstanding questions, remaining in terms of a wider investigation. But certainly my approach, Vancouver-Kensington, is very diverse. It's one of the most diverse constituencies in British Columbia. And my vision has been to be very inclusive, to make an effort to reach out and engage all communities, ethnic communities, business communities, neighborhood communities, and work together. I think that's the model of what brings success. Over the last 4 years, I've seen a lot of positive growth and development. I think South Vancouver and Vancouver-Kensington, I think, is really increasing in stature. More people are coming to the area. It's been very successful efforts at positive branding. I think the business improvement associations have done a very good job in creating a lot of community spirit. So I've seen a lot develop within Kensington, but I think we need to address the fundamentals. Affordability for families, I hear a lot about that. The need for affordable housing. The NDP has pledged to build 1,500 units of affordable housing per year over the next 4 years. The child care is the second highest cost for families. NDP has pledged to reduce fees for infant toddlers and expand spaces, and also invest in a BC-wide early learning plan. So these key concerns and issues that I've heard on the doorstep in Vancouver-Kensington are reflected in the NDP campaign, and it's been in our platform, and it's been well received so far.
Yeah, you're optimistic about your chances on the 14th?
Well, we're working hard. I think that's, I get that from my parents, a good work ethic, and that's my outlook every day, and it's my, my view as a public servant, and it's a great privilege to have been elected in 2009 to serve the constituents of Vancouver-Kensington, and it's, I'm working hard to be reelected. Mm-hmm. And but we're seeing good support. A lot of volunteers come in, a lot of sign requests. We're running low on our signs. Mm-hmm. So those are all positive indications. And we're running a positive campaign. We're really making an effort to, talk about the vision for BC, not engage in personal attacks, and really involve people in the political process.
Thanks for coming in today. It's good to see you again. Good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. MabelElmore.bc.ndp.ca is a website for more. Mabel Elmore, the BC NDP candidate in Vancouver-Kensington, join me in studio. I'm Joseph Plata.